Bibles and turn back with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. Our subject this morning, Mary, God's chosen example of grace. Now, we're studying the book of Luke, and I hope that all of you will be here as often as you possibly can, and as we study this portion of the Word of God together. We'll be in the book of Luke at least a year, possibly longer than that, but that's all right. There are many, many things in this precious book that we need to know, and to give you a review of what we've looked at a little bit, we find out that as we talked about Mary and Zacharias, Zacharias argued with God, Mary believed it. And then last Sunday, we talked about God's effectual call as it was given to Mary. And remember now, the key verse in Luke is Luke 19:10. If you haven't memorized it, I urge you to do it. Now, Luke was a doctor, and he was a Paul's companion, and a lot of his language is written in medical terms, and you'll find out that a lot of your medical terms today come out of the Greek language. Now, they do. For example, do you? Raise your hand. You know what that word means? It comes from the Greek word isteme, which means to stand up again. And you're the cold. Then, if you know what cardiology is, it comes from the word cardios, which is the word heart. And that's the Greek word. And so Luke wrote in medical terms, and we'll find out that as the Lord lays this on our heart, we'll bring you out a Greek word here too, and let you know, because sometimes they make the scripture even more meaningful than what it is without the Greek language. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, down through verse 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the High Father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Shall we pray? Our Lord, this morning, as we look into thy word this morning, give us the opportunity and the privilege of knowing more about it than ever before. We stand, Lord, amazed at thy goodness and mercy to us, and we stand again, wondering as to what the results of this service will be. We commit it into thy hands and ask thee to work up, do not know thee. Thou hast begun a work in their hearts. Now we pray thee, will you not make them to become like Mary, willing and pliant, and then breathing from blessing of salvation, which will be everlasting. But Lord, whatever it is, I will be done. And we ask thee again, glorify thyself here in all that's said and done. Be with the sick and afflicted and watch over them. And again, Lord, magnify thyself in this service this hour. Give us all a listening ear and an attentive heart, and then send forth thy word in power for the results that will accrue to thy name. We ask it, Lord, for thy sake. Amen. As I mentioned before, our subject today is Mary, God's chosen example of grace. Now, the religious world today has done despite unto Mary. On the one side, you have the Catholics have made her a co-mediatrix with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not so. Mary never took that position. In fact, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, she said, My soul rejoiceth in God my Savior. Well, while the Catholics exalt her to heaven and put her equally with the Lord Jesus Christ, we find the others, or Protestants, if I may use that term, have kind of relegated Mary to the ash heap of oblivion. Now, Mary is a godly woman. And if this was a Mother's Day sermon, it probably would feel good. I'll save a Mother's Day sermon for her. We'll go back and look at Mary, because I want you to see in Mary sometime in the future her faith and her fortitude and also her devotion, and we find her knowledge of the Word of God. Now, if you ever read Luke chapter 1, I urge you to read it again, and you'll find in Mary's praise and exaltation unto the Lord, what did she do? She quoted the Old Testament from the books of Malachi and the Psalms and so on. She knew the Old Testament. And I'll tell you right now, she is a good example for every mother to follow. Mary was a godly woman. But now we're going to look at Mary this morning in a threefold manner. First of all, we're going to review again that Mary's experience is a believer's experience. Now, as what the Lord did to Mary, He's done to you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know Him, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, then put it down. God doesn't have a million different ways to save a sinner. He set forth how He saves a sinner in His book from Revelation, and your experience and mine with the Lord has got to correspond with that which is found in this book. This book is an experience, and they say, oh, I had a cold chill running up and down my spine. Mary did. Others have said, everything got brighter than the noonday sun. Mary didn't have that. And others have said very clearly, I walked down the aisle as though I were walking on a cloud, and I don't even remember what took place. Mary didn't have that. Now, we're going to look at Mary this morning, and we're going to show you the example that God has given to us with regard to her. She is God's chosen example of grace. Now, three things stand out in Mary's experience that we want to look at for a moment or two this morning. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 down through verse 28, we find, first of all, that Mary's experience was like that of a believer in this respect. Mary was sought after by God. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now notice, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary. Now in your experience, what happened? God came after you. There came a time in your life when you knew that the Lord God of heaven was speaking to you, as Mary knew that the Lord God of heaven was speaking to her. Mary knew that. Troubled that when the angel came in unto her. When God comes after the individual, I'll tell you right now, He doesn't give that individual peace and tranquility at the very first time. He troubles that individual. Has He ever troubled your soul? I hope and pray that He has. The second thing about Mary, and this is true with every one of us here today that know the Lord, Mary was spoken to individually. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? Again, verse 28, John through verse 30. Listen to what it says. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice this verse. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now what do you have here? The second thing about Mary was this. She was not only sought after by the Lord, but we find also she was spoken to individually by God. He called her Mary. God ever spoken to you individually? Has He ever called you by name? Remember now, the scripture teaches very clearly, My hear my voice, and I know them, and I call them by name. Now the Lord God of heaven calls you by name, if He ever sets out to redeem you. And we find, if you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10, and look with me, if you will, again, at verses 14 through 16, where the Word of God verifies what I have just spoken. I am the good shepherd, John 10, 14, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Now listen to these words. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now what more are you talking about? God's salvation narrows down to this, that everyone whom the Lord God of heaven has ever redeemed or ever will redeem, He calls them by name. Have you ever heard the voice of God? If you haven't, my friend, then you've missed redemption. This is God's method, and I'll tell you right now, there is no other means. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And beloved, that's an absolute truth. Now, if God's ever spoken to you, you know it. If God ever has spoken to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because I'll tell you what it did. It changed your entire lifestyle, didn't it?
This is what happened. You knew that God called you. Mary knew that God spoke to her. And she was troubled at his saying, and then the Lord said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And I'd like to inject that also here, that if God's speaking you and calling you by name, and you're troubled, we give you these words, "Fear not." The reason God's doing it is because you have found favor with him. You see, it's no different. Now, the third thing about Mary was this. We find also the third thing about her, and this is true about every individual. Mary was set apart forever by God and for God. Now you say, "Pastor, what in the world are you talking about?" In Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, listen to it. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Here you find Mary being set apart by God. When God sets out to save a sinner, he sanctifies or sets apart that individual by God the Holy Spirit. We are set apart by God, and then we are set apart also for God. Now, how did Mary? Did Mary know that? She did. Turn the page in your Bible and look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 46 and listen to Mary's praise as she gives it forth. Listen to what it says. "And the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And are you listening? That's the testimony of every believer. What has the Lord done? I'll tell you what he's done. We find, first of all, our soul doth magnify the Lord, and our spirit rejoices in God our Savior. Is that true with you today? It was true to Mary. Now look at what God did for her. We find, and again in verse 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." In other words, Mary knew that she was nothing but a poor, lost sinner before God. And this is a testimony of every true believer. He hath regarded the low estate of me, and we find we've been set apart by God, and we've been set apart for God. And in verse 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Now, believer, is that your testimony today? If it isn't, it ought to be. This is what God has done. But you see, the average believer today, they get their mind on so many other things and on the Lord God of heaven, they forget, as it were, the gracious privilege and the exalted opportunity we have of knowing the Lord, and also the sanctified position that God has put us in. You see, when God set out to call Mary, he set her apart. And he does the same thing at this present hour. Now, how do you know, preacher? Turn to Galatians chapter 4, if you will, and look at in Galatians chapter 4, and we find verses 6 through 9, this is what our Lord's done. And this is true with you today, if you know him, and if it's not true with you, then put it down. Your old profession is no good. Throw it aside and beg the Lord to begin a work in your heart. In Galatians chapter 4, we find again, verse 6, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Now what do you have here? Here you have that we are set apart forever by God. How do you know, preacher? The Holy Spirit's in our hearts. We're set apart by him. We're set apart for him. How do you know? Galatians 6 now, 9, or 4, 9 I should say. "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known by God." Now how about it, believer? You chew on that for a little bit. You and I are known of God. But you say, "Pastor, I'm not saved yet." All right, then you don't know if you're known of God, do you? But you see, Mary was set apart by God and set apart for the Lord. And you and I are set apart by God, and we are also set apart for the Lord. That's why he leaves us here on this earth to wait and to work for him and to live for him. That's what we're here for. When we're saved, God makes us immediately fit for heaven. But he leaves us here. Why? To be a vessel of mercy. And to be a vessel of honor unto him. And to set forth to others the graciousness of the Lord God of heaven as it has been worked in your heart individually. Now this happened to Mary. This happened to us. Alright, let's go back to Luke chapter 1 again. And let's look at Mary the second time. And we'll see her, the element of faith that Mary exhibited with regard to the angel's message. The angel came to her and he told her she was going to have a baby. And then we find very clearly, here you have the element of faith given by Mary. Now what is it? In Luke chapter 1 verse 38, and Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. Now what in the world do you have here? Here you have the element of faith manifested by Mary. As Mary was saved, so you and I were saved in the same manner. God doesn't have a million different ways to save people. I've taken issue with many a Bible scholar today, a so-called teacher, that they come along and they say, well, God didn't save people in the Old Testament at the way he saves them today. Or God didn't save people in the New Testament the way he saves them today. There's not a bit of difference. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now what I've set forth before you so far is this. If you're saved here today, you've had an experience with God and you know it. Well, but preacher, how in the world am I going to be saved? I got to believe. Sure you do. And what is the element of faith that is set forth in Mary's experience? Well, it's the same thing that has been set forth in your experience if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. And if you haven't come to know him, you must have this experience. Now, salvation is an experience between you and God. Mary had an experience between her and God. But Mary believed what the Lord said. And so we find the elements of faith that is manifested in Mary is the same thing that is manifested in you today if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are those elements of faith? Well, first of all, there was the reception of the Word. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? When God came to Mary, he told her very clearly these things. He said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And then he told her she was going to have a baby. Now are you listening? This resulted in Mary believing and receiving what God said. Now she said these words. She said, how in the world or how could this be seeing I'm a virgin? Nobody had touched her. She was a pure virgin, and yet she was a poor sinner. She was a totally depraved sinner, but she was at that time a pure virgin. Nobody had touched her. This is why I don't go along with all these translations. Because they tell us that Mary was a young woman. Now Mary was a young woman. But the emphatic Greek brings out very clearly that she was a virgin, and it couldn't be translated any other way, but these modern translators have ignored it and translated her as being a young woman. Now she was a young woman, but she was a virgin. And we find in the element of faith that is manifested, there are five things that take place. First of all, there was the reception of the word. Contrast her, if you will, with regard to Zacharias. Zacharias had the angel visit him, and Zacharias said, and how shall I know these things? Mary said, how shall these things be? What a difference. She believed what God said. All right, how about you today? Do you believe what God says? If you don't, you'll never be converted. You must believe what God says. For him that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that give. Sign that in the book of Hebrews. Mary received the word of God. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, God's purpose concerning Mary and Christ was this. Mary was to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find very clearly, we see when God comes to an individual, hold your seat now, there was an intimate relation between Mary and Christ, and when God comes to you as a poor sinner, he wants to effect an intimate relation between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the reason he comes upon you. The second thing about Mary was this. She not only received the word, but we find also that Mary perceived. Now listen, it had to be all of God and all of grace. She knew beyond the shadow of a doubt she could not bring forth a baby supernaturally without God doing it. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. Just before God saves a sinner, that sinner knows beyond the shadow of a doubt it has to be all of God and all of grace, or that individual can never be converted. Even the faith by which we believe has to be imparted to us by the Lord God of heaven, even as the supernatural work of God had to be wrought upon Mary in order for her to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now how about it, my friend? You're trying to work your way to heaven? You'll never get there. You've got to receive the word of God. Then we find also there was the revelation of God's grace and love bestowed. This is the second thing about Mary. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, Mary perceived that it was all of God and it was all of grace. Now I've already mentioned that. She asked this question. She said, how shall these things be? And the Lord answered her, the Lord said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In other words, you see, God had to effect a supernatural transformation. And are you listening? For you to be saved, God's got to cause you to be born from above. You can't do it of yourself. The good thing about Mary was this. Are you listening? She relied upon God for the fulfillment of it. Now, how do you know? In verse 38, this is what she said. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Are you listening? She believed. When you believe something, you act on it. If you don't believe it, you don't act on it. Now, I get all kinds of letters. You probably do too. I get all kinds of letters. And say, congratulations, Peter Northier. You have just won $250,000, but I've never gotten the check. You get that too? I look at that thing and every once in a while I open it up and it says here, now, if you win, if your name is drawn, and then they said, would you send $5 to $10? You know what I do with it? I put it in file 13. Now, if you don't know what file 13 is, it's the wastebasket. And so I get that all the time. You see, there's an if there. Well, if I'm lost, Lord, save me. No. You see, you're not lost when you talk that way. You've got to come as a lost sinner. If I'm helpless, Lord, show me. No, you are helpless. But Mary didn't do that. We find very clearly, the angel of the Lord came to her, and Mary perceived it was all of God and was all of grace, and so does the individual. And as I bring it out before, I'll say to you again, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us how? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. What happened in Mary's womb happens in the sinner's heart when God saves that individual. Now I'll bring that out a little bit later. But I want you to notice something else. Not only did Mary perceive that it was all of God, she received the word of God, then there was a revelation of God's love, and we find Mary relied upon God for the fulfillment, and then we see very clearly she said these words, be it unto me according to thy word. Now what are you talking about? Well, it's settled it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And then you know what took place? Mary began to rejoice. And the same thing takes place when God sets out and saves a sinner. You see, this is the element of faith that's involved. How simple it was on the part of Mary. Be it unto me according to thy word, O sinner today. How simple it is for the Lord God of heaven to save you. It just takes a second, doesn't it? And yet we find very clearly, Mary had to believe what God said, and you've got to believe what God says. And when the Lord Jesus Christ deals with your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's because you have found favor in His sight, and He desires to bless you. Oh, but preacher, I'm in such a miserable condition. Good. Good. Mary was troubled at His saying, but it doesn't stop it in. There are a lot of people today that God has never troubled. And I want to say again, if an individual's never been troubled by God, then put it down. God has never reached down and really redeemed them. Because God does. Then we find also, Mary rejoiced in the Lord for her privilege. Now turn your page, if you will, and look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And that's her personal testimony. Now how about you today? Does your soul rejoice in God your Savior because he's regarded your low estate and he hath wrought in your heart great things unto you? Oh, I hope and pray that he has. But now let's go back again to Luke chapter 1. And let's look, if we will, for just a moment or two. One more thing that I have to bring out. Not only did Mary rejoice in the Lord for the privilege, but I'm going to tell you one more thing. It only happened one time. How many times can you be saved? Once. That's all. And when you're saved by God, you're saved forever by the Lord God of heaven. And you need to understand that. All right, now let's go back to Luke chapter 1 again. And let's look at God's example of redemption and how it takes place. Now, I've given you the element of faith that was included in Mary's experience, but now, what is God's example of bride again? There are just a few things that are set forth here, and I want you to notice in verse 35, starting at verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, what do you have here, all right? In the first thing, in God's method of redemption, I'll tell you this. This is what takes place. There has to be the overshadowing of God the Holy Spirit. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? The word overshadow, underline it if you will. Here's what it means. It means to exert creative energy upon the womb of Mary and impregnating it. Now, wait a minute. I hold your seat now. Listen. This is a medical fact. When once the egg is fertilized, I'll tell you right now, the womb rejects every other kind of seed that comes in. Now let it soak in. And what happens spiritually to an individual? I'll tell you, when once an individual has been impregnated by God's creative energy, and there's a planting of the Word of God in that soul, I'll tell you right now, that individual isn't going to settle for anything less. Some of you here travel long distances to come here. Why? Because you know that here you are hearing the Word of God. You've gone to other churches and you find out very clearly, like was in the free press this morning, the attendance in America with regard to churches is gone. Well, I can understand it. Why? The vast majority of our churches today have become social clubs and religious psychiatry clinics. That's about all. They don't preach the Word of God. But here today we set forth God's method of redemption. For you to be saved, you've got to be overshadowed by God the Holy Spirit. And he does it. He did it to Mary. And he does it to all those, the elect sinners that God intends to save. And if he's dealing with your heart, I'll tell you right now, it's because he's already exerting that creative energy in there, and you're already becoming regenerated, and that's the reason you understand your condition, because prior to the regeneration of God with regard to you, you were a dead sinner, and a dead sinner can't understand anything. Now hold your seat, pay close attention. The second thing that takes place is the implanting of the seed. When did Mary get pregnant? I'll tell you when she got pregnant, right there in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. And right then and there, she was impregnated. Did she feel it? No. Did she understand it? No. God does the same thing to an individual. The Holy Ghost overshadows that individual. He impregnates that individual's soul with the Word of God. They don't feel it. They don't understand it. And yet we find very clearly in due time the results of it are brought out because they begin to understand their poor, lost, hell-bound condition before God. And that's the result of regeneration. Because you see, whenever a baby is born, you have to have, first of all, the implanting of the seed, and then you have the growth and the development, and then you'll have the labor and the travail, and then you'll have the bringing forth of life, and then you'll have the feeding on the good things, because every time a baby is born, it's God's physical picture of the spiritual truth as to how He saves an individual. Now, how about you this morning? Has the Lord God of heaven ever reached down and saved you? I hope and pray that He has. All right, the next thing about Mary was this. We find there was not only the impregnating of her body, and it takes place within the individual, and hold your seat now, it was God the Father that did it. Now how can you be so dogmatic? Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to James chapter 1, and I'll show you very clearly. In James chapter 1, look with me at verse 17 and 18, and this is what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, God the Father is the Father of us. Are you listening carefully? I tell you right now, a woman can never have a baby without having a father. Now, hold your seat. Of His own will, God begat us. You were saved here today because the Lord God of heaven, who is your Father, begot you by the word of truth according to His will. And we find with regard to Mary, in God's method of redemption, we find there was the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, because God and the Father and God the Holy Ghost and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all work together in the salvation of His soul. There's no argument between them. But we find also there was the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. Then there was the implanting of the seed by God Himself. And we find very clearly that what took place, all right, Mary became a pregnant woman. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? When God sets out to save you, He sanctifies you apart by Himself, and He sanctifies you for Himself. Now, listen carefully. In due time, Mary brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. When God impregnates the soul of an individual, in due time, that individual is going to break out in praising the Lord. It may be long, it may be short, but I'll tell you this. It's brought about by God Himself because the Lord does it. Now, the fourth thing takes place is this. We find also there was a result in praise and honor to God. Now, you think of it. In Luke chapter 1, go back with me now to verse 46. Now, look at what it says. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now notice, for He that is almighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. All right, now hold your seat. What do you have here? Here was Mary. Follow me now. Mary was pregnant by God Himself. In her pregnancy, she faced this. She could lose her husband, who was Joseph. They were engaged. She could lose him. She lost her reputation, because immediately people would come along, just like they say right here, when an individual that's not married comes along, and after due time, 3 or 4 months, you know, they start wearing a maternity cloak, and you say, well, that individual's pregnant, and they're not married. Now, today, there's no shame. So they flaunt it. But in Mary's day, it was a terrible shame for an individual to be pregnant without a husband. And not only that, the law of Israel stated very clearly in the book of Deuteronomy that if a woman was found pregnant, both the man and the woman were to be stoned. Now hold your seat. Mary knew this. Yet, she praised the Lord for doing it to her. You talk about faith, there it is, isn't it? Now, how about you today? Mary praised the Lord for the privilege God bestowed upon her. Are you saved here today? Then praise the Lord for the privilege that God has bestowed upon you. He didn't have to do it to Mary. He didn't have to do it to you. He does it out of love and grace. And He did it to her out of love and grace to fulfill His purpose. and our Lord reaches down and saves us and separates us and puts a song of praise in our heart, he does it according to his love and grace and the fulfillment of his purpose. What a great God we have. Then, Mary also not only praised the Lord for the privilege, but as I mentioned before too, heaven rejoiced. Heaven rejoiced in the redemption, or I should say heaven rejoiced in the birth of Mary, of Mary's baby, and heaven rejoices in the redemption of the individual. It'll be like Christmas all over again, won't it? You say, what are you talking about? Well, when the Lord Jesus was born, what happened? The angel of God came, and then the angels appeared in heaven, and what'd they say? Glory to God in the highest! Well, are you listening? Every time God saves a sinner, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, and every time God saves a sinner, there is joy amongst the angels over the individual who has been converted. So you see, it's a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What else is there? Are you listening? It happens but one time. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I read in evangelistic magazines and everything like that, and I read an evangelist holds this meeting, and he said, well, he said, we have 300 first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. And I look at my wife, and I say, I wonder what they mean by that. First-time decision. Well, first time they got saved. Well, how many times did you get saved? How many times did you marry? Once. How many times the Lord saved a sinner? Once. Now, hold your seat. It not only happens one time, but I'm going to tell you this. It's a reality to the individual. We have a lot of preachers today, and I lock horns with many of them, because they teach and they preach and they believe, and they're as wrong as they can be, that a person can be saved and not know it. That's an impossibility. Mary knew what took place in her heart, and in her life, I should say, and in her heart. And if God's ever saved you, you know it too. And if you don't know for sure if you're saved or not, put it down, you are not. Because the Apostle Paul says so clearly, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And it only happens one time. Let me give this to you if I may. Has God ever saved you? Nobody. Has the Holy Ghost ever come upon you and spoken to you, singled you out, troubled you, and then given you the gospel like the Lord God of heaven gave to Mary? He gave her the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be born and the Lord Jesus Christ is her Savior and that there was to be an intimate relationship between her and the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, that's the gospel today. The Lord wants you to have an intimate, personal, eternal relationship with you in Christ. And the only way he can effect it is by his supernatural power, the overshadowing of God upon you and in you, enabling you to believe. And are you listening? It happens but one time. And then it results in an eternal praise unto the Lord God of heaven. That's why Mary said, my soul doth rejoice in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaid. And beloved, today, if you're saved today, you and I have the same thing. My soul rejoices in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of me. It's the greatest privilege that can happen to you, if it ever does. All right, now let me close. Remember now, faith brings forth a response. When the angel came to Mary and told her what he said, Mary said these words, be it unto me according to thy word. And sinner, when you believe what God tells you, and you believe him, instant you have eternal life. And there is none else. Salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. Now, some of you here today, you've been tricked by Satan. You're tricked by Satan in this respect. Well, I haven't read enough. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't felt my sin enough. Are you listening? That's a trick of Satan. That's nothing but works. You think God's going to save you when you realize what a poor sinner you are? You never will fully realize it. If God were ever to open our heart and show us the absolute depravity of what we are, you know what it would do? It would drive us to suicide. Now don't fall for the trick of Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ says to you today, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're not saved by your praying. You're not saved by feeling guilty. You're not saved by reading. You're not saved by working. You're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And when the angel came to Mary, she answered very clearly, be it according to thy word. And it settled it. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, are you a poor sinner? Who made you a poor sinner? God did. Are you miserable? Who's made you miserable? God has. Why has he done it? The same reason he troubled Mary. To bestow upon you his everlasting, eternal salvation by grace through faith. And oh, I urge you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And when you are, you come and tell me. I'm waiting to hear. Shall we stand? Take your songbooks. Turn to number 379. 379. You almost persuaded? That's not good enough. Mary was not almost persuaded. She absolutely was. She said, be it according, be it unto thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. And then she praised the Lord for the privilege because Mary knew what the Lord was doing. She wasn't almost persuaded. She's absolutely convinced. And when you believe something, you're convinced. And Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm absolutely convinced that's what it brings out. And he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, if you're almost persuaded, my prayer is, come all the way. That's what needs to be done. I hope that you will come. Come to Christ. Don't come to the church. We can't save you. Come to Christ. Then come and tell me. I'm waiting to hear. The greatest privilege I ever have is when people call me on the telephone or come to me personally and just tell me, Pastor, the Lord saved me. That's the best news I can hear. And I'll tell you right now, there's many of you here today. You're almost persuaded, but that's not enough. Oh, may you believe what God says like Mary did. And that settles it. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning, thank you again for this time together. We ask again thy blessing upon this congregation as we commit it to thee. And pray, our God, work out thy purpose here in these hearts that need thee. Save them, Lord, as only thou art able. And then strengthen thy people as only thou canst do. Oh, cause our hearts to be filled with joy and praise as you cause the heart of Mary. For truly, Lord, you have regarded our low estate and you have done to us such great things that we cannot even begin to understand. Oh, our Lord, fill us as believers with a greater gratitude than ever before. And again, we beg thee, save these in our midst today that need thee. We ask it, Lord, for thy sake. In thy name we pray. Amen.